Morning, everybody. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. A couple more weeks this week and next week in Acts 2. Then we're going to turn to Colossians. So if you'd like to go ahead and start pre-reading in Colossians, that would be terrific. Yeah, so we're in message 4 of 5 messages on priority living from Acts chapter 2. These are the priority practices of the very first church, the Jerusalem church, which today are valued at various levels in various churches. Some churches put more priority on one of these than others. Some of them don't give them much priority at all, and healthy churches prioritize these five priorities of the first church, 5 signs of healthy believers and healthy churches. And number one is God's Word. Healthy churches focus on God's Word. It is a central part of what's going on in their ministry. Commitment. The people are committed to the Lord and committed to the ministry, and it shows in their pressing in and being involved in the ministry. Worship is a critical part of any healthy church. This week we're going to be on community, the fourth one there. Next week we'll finish out with witness. So with a healthy balance of all five, then churches reproduce. If they're unhealthy, then they're not going to reproduce as effectively as they could. Churches that are balancing all five see significant conversion growth. They're going to see new people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to grow disciples more effectively. And a genuine positive legacy of kingdom ministry becomes evident in the church. People look back and they go, wow, we are so glad that Faith Bible Church was in the city of Libby, because look at all the good that they did in God's name here in this town. My prayer has been and is going to continue to be that we're going to learn, we're going to believe, we're going to receive these five priorities from God's Word, because as we seek the heart of God, as we seek Him for His preferred future for our church, then these five form up a solid foundation of truth. They stand not as the old country western song, send me the pillar that you dream on, but they stand as 5 pillars to dream a God kind of a dream on, 5 truths to run with in God's holy calling, in His mission. Here, let's read these verses, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, that was Peter's sermon, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call to Himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had received, who had believed, were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The fourth priority of the believers of the first church is community. They demonstrated it in 3 different ways and how important it was to them. The first is that the believers were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. Verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia. It involves spending time together, but this is a much higher kind of a fellowship than the level of just spending time together. Way more than that level of time can generate. It has friendship as an ingredient. It permeates hearts much more deeply, though, than just being friends. Koinonia is an ingredient that occurs between believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Christ. Nobody else on the planet can experience this except believers. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, describes it like this. Fellowship being a deep sharing in the body and blood of Christ. Paul writes there, is not the cup of blessing with which we bless a sharing in the body of Christ, in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread. You know, whenever we remember the Lord Jesus in communion, we receive a cup as a reminder, a cup of juice as a reminder that the redeeming blood of Christ is the sacrifice for each of us and all of us together to cling to. When we eat the bread, we recall his suffering, his broken body on our behalf because of our sins, and we're made aware again that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our head. Read the book of Ephesians. That's what Ephesians is all about. In koinonia, we are divinely knitted together. Divinely knitted together. The Apostle Peter wrote, by his wounds, we, plural, are healed. So one outworking of koinonia fellowship is written about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. He says there, koinonia is participating in support and need meeting. Koinonia, keep your finger there in Acts chapter 2. Go out to chapter 8, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 1, here it comes. Paul writes there, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of, here's the word, koinonia, participation, for the favor of koinonia in the support of the saints. There's our word again. Koinonia is this deeply involved participation in the lives of one another. And verse 5, and this, not as we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us, by the will of God. You know what? This may be the very first prayer letter for supporting mission work in the world, right? Paul, he's on his way to bring relief to the believers in Jerusalem, and he writes to. We see these hints in some of the letters that he writes to the churches of how they can participate. The truth is that people are bound together by the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are bound that way are deeply connected in this invisible bond that we call fellowship, koinonia. They're active in ministry together. Nobody holds out. Nobody holds back. Everybody gets involved. Everybody gets involved in this overwhelming blessing of fellowship in partnering with God. That's part of koinonia, partnering with God in the good that he is doing in the world. When we partner together like that, we experience this deep koinonia from God. So the first indicator of the first church's commitment to Christ and to community is their fellowship, their koinonia. The second sign of that priority can be seen in the way that they were devoted to harmony. They were devoted to harmony, day by day, continuing with one mind, continuing with one mind in the temple. We saw the idea of one mind last Sunday. It's one Greek word, two words in English, one Greek word, homothumos. It's used only 11 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those are in the book of Acts. Only one other use in the entire New Testament. Literally, one passion, one purpose, one intent, one goal, one mission that they had together. Had they been a choir, they would have sung in perfect, impeccable harmony together. Had they been an army, they would have marched in perfect step, eyes forward. Had they been the Kansas City Chiefs, they probably would have beat the Patriots last week. They've been playing in the Super Bowl when it's coming up. One mind that these dear folks had. When they came to church, they came with absolute unity. There were no end runs in the first church. There were no personal agendas that people were trying to leverage for in that church. Unanimous they were, and unanimously every believer came to glorify the God and Father of their Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. One mind that they had when they came together in worship. And it showed through a life of serving Him together, serving Christ together. The true Christian harmony is working together, all of us with the same mind, the same heart, working together. The only other use of this word homothumos is in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. There Paul writes, "Now may the Lord, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that," here it is, homothumos, "one, with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We got the same mind there. We have one accord. That's our word, homothumos, one voice. The unity of Faith Bible Church. I've been here 10 months now. I've heard some of the days of the church that have gone before us. And I got to tell you, from what I've learned, from what I picked up, that the unity that we enjoy as a church family today hasn't always been that way. I mean, there have been some bumpy years in the history of our church. And since our enemy is a divider of the brethren, you know, he's a divide and conquer strategist. He gets you going your own way, doing your own thing, you're running your own or leveraging for your own personal agenda. And he comes in to try to divide the brethren. He and his minions of darkness continually look for the very slightest crack that they can slither through, the smallest opening that sometimes might be just the slightest difference of opinion. And he then will try to find a way to drive a wedge in there and to drive us apart. They slither in and they do their best to divide and to weaken us. So make it your prayer, make it your personal agenda to be an agent of unity, to be an agent of peace, to be an agent of harmony in our church family. That way, when we stand together, as we stand together with one mind, one mission, one passion, we are able to say that this is what Faith Bible Church is all about. This one thing we all do with one heart, we work together in harmony, carrying out God's mission to God's glory, right? That's what we need to be about. And that's what we are about. Whatever we do, let's don't mess this up. This is a good thing that we have going here. As the first church in Jerusalem lived together, they ministered together with one mind, with one accord. They knew great joy. They experienced that. They experienced real worship. They expected and they witnessed big things to occur in their church. 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized in one day. Things that verse 43 calls signs and wonders. They experienced some amazing things, and churches that work in harmony experience the blessings of God. Okay, third and finally, the community was evident because the first church was devoted to living as family. They were devoted to living as family. Verse 44, beginning there. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Guess what? They had a benevolence fund. And they fueled benevolence ministries there. Verse 46, again, day by day with one mind in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, devoted to living as family. First in these verses, we take note that the first Christians showed up in each other's lives. They took on the ministry of caring and sharing. They took on the ministry of caring and sharing with one another and for one another. Two operative words that show us the ways that our forefathers and our foremothers came together and lived as a family of faith. They cared for one another by sharing with one another. They were all about providing for the real needs that were in the church, to the point of selling their possessions to meet those kind of needs. By the way, this is probably the very first all-church fundraiser of all time. There are legitimate reasons for us to pool our assets, and they were selling things that they had. Whenever there was a need, the first family gave up what they could have kept for themselves in order to watch God provide for others through their sacrificial giving. Right? Your offerings, you know, you can keep that, but the Lord won't use it unless you give it over to Him. He won't use those assets. These people gave sacrificially to meet the needs of others, and God honored that. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, First century believers were generous. They were selling their possessions. That's a word that refers to a type of goods. They were items that were movable. They weren't fixed property. Possessions there. This could be tools, could be furniture, carts, jewelry, livestock, anything not nailed down, right? Part of the physical structure. They were willing to give that stuff up. They were also selling off their property. These are actual parcels of land. These believers were so committed to the Lord and to their rapidly expanding family believers that their wealth, their assets, meant absolutely nothing to them except to be used to further the mission of their king. Right? It made no difference what they had. If there was a need, they gave of themselves, they gave of their possessions and their property to meet those needs. If there was a real need, the people of God stepped up and they met it. They stepped up and met it, no matter the personal cost. And to that generosity, they were all about hospitality too. They're all about hospitality. Look back up in verse 46. It's right there. They were opening their homes to one another and taking their meals together. How long has it been since you invited somebody into your home for a meal? How long has it been since you took a meal to somebody in need and then didn't stay at their house and gobble it all up yourself? Right? How long has it been since folks have been in your home? Mary and I were talking about this just last Monday. Happened to also be her birthday. Happy birthday, sweetie. We're talking about this last Monday night. That now that we're settled in over next door, we want to start having more of you into our home. We've had a few of you over. We want to have more of you into our homes, and likely that's going to show up like Sunday lunch right after worship service. Not today, unless you want to go get food and bring it over, of course. But probably Sunday dinners right after church. It may take a little bit for us to square away the logistics of that, make sure that we got plenty of ragu, an extra jar of ragu, an extra thing of some sort of pasta, but we want to start. Okay, never mind. Mary says no ragu. None of that. Ragu is not a word that's in the Bible anyway, so we don't use it. Or something like that. Anyway, we want to bring you into our home next door. We're grateful to have the parsonage next door, and we want you to experience the parsonage with us. We've been in some of your homes. I'm just looking around. Boom, 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 boom. Just looking at the homes I've been in. And, oh, hi up there. How's the Gerard clan? Coming along? Good, good. By the way, and right behind you, Mitzi Carlson, John and I baptized her last night up at some friend's house up in their neighborhood. So congrats, Mitzi Carlson. Yeah, it was great. It was really cool. Yeah. 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 Made my hair lay down and everything. Anyway, we want to get in your homes too. And so we are open for invitations. And we have been. We're so grateful to know. And when we, that way, when we pray for you, we can pray for you, remembering in our minds what it's like in your home, right? We can do that. We want to, and we want you to see us as we are in our home next door. So we want to get you in over there. So be prepared for that. Be flexible with us. We want you over there. Okay. Here's the truth: God has given you your home to use for Him. God has given you your home to use for Him. He has not given you your home to hoard or to hide in. No. Even though you're buying it, even though you're renting it, your home is a place for safety and blessing, for shelter, for rest, for food, and for fun, all of which you are to manage in the ministry of hospitality for the Lord's work, right? There's no better way to bless someone than to bring them into your own home and be gracious to them in your own home. Yes, there are exceptions, right? Everybody gets that. You know, there may be sickness in your home. If you're all sick at your house, I don't want to come get it, right? You don't have to share that, right? But sickness and sadness, sure, there are expectations, but most of us could invite people into our homes more than we do, all right? We can do that, and really, hospitality is easy. It's really easy. Hospitality is one of the most powerful tools for blessing others and for, watch this, for personal outreach. For personal outreach. You need to be inviting your non-Christian friends into your home. It'll be a place of blessing for them. They will sense the presence of God in your home. And look what community produces. Gladness. We could all use a little more dose of gladness, couldn't we? Sincerity of heart. Love that. What a great aspect of life. Praise. Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't it be great to be a more praising family? Hospitality will do that for you. And witness. Gladness, sincerity of heart, praise, and witness. All of which God used in the first family, the Jerusalem family, the first believers, and enabled them through that to find favor with all the peoples and adding to their number of believers daily, those who are being saved. They use the assets of their homes. Community. Community is one of the top five priorities of the very first church, and it had impact all over town, all over Jerusalem. People were being blessed by the hospitality of the first church, blessing one another, blessing and impressing in positive ways people who needed to know their Savior. May God give us a great big dose of community at Faith Bible Church. Right? Nod your head. Say, yes, Pastor Ed. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We're glad to be here, to be in our church family. We thank you for this reminder of how important community is and can be productive for your kingdom, Lord. So help us to think that through, to find ways to be a blessing as we see needs, and also, Lord, to invite people into our homes, into our lives, and to invite ourselves into their lives as well. And we pray it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.